Now next chapter, what we have seen, what is international HRM? We have also seen three components of HRM, and what we need to look at now, what is the current scenario? What is the international HRM scenario? So, as we discuss how this international HRM has got evolved, it started from the expat management to the very administrative function to international HRM, and it's more sensitive to the cultural integration. Now, if you look at today, initially, the organizations are becoming more responsive to the cultural aspect, the softer side of human resource management, because the huge expansion of business, there are large number of companies who are operating from various continents. Now, this we need to really go back and understand what is the what are the changes, why these changes happening. There are reasons why, because it's a free market, there's a free economy flowing, the many and more countries are embracing to the capitalistic economy. They are moving to one country to another country. There's a free movement of workforce. So here today we are in the age of global workforce, in the age of the global career opportunities. The people have access to global opportunities in a large scale than never before. Now, these are the challenges which really throw creation of the new mindset for international HRM. Now, the companies wants to ramp up quickly. They like to have a blueprint ready. They want to move one country to another country. They go with all the equipped measures and start their operation as early as possible. Now, there's a change in the skill set also. Now, if you look at the skill set, there's a constant change because of the technology advancement. There's access to the international workforce. There's a better access, and there's a change in technology in terms of training, upskilling, correct, skill enhancement, and that's the reason there's a huge burden, or say there's a challenging task for the international HR experts. Now, where we need to capitalize the potential, because as I just mentioned to you, that technology is a major driver, and because of the technology, this international HRM is becoming a challenging management expertise. Now, if you look at, there is a huge change or huge frequency of merger and acquisitions. Every day the new mergers happening, new acquisitions are happening. The change of identity is also very rapid. The organization which belong to one continent today, tomorrow all of a sudden there is a change of ownership, change of stakeholders, and that calls for reintegration of the HR policies. Articulation of new policies, new values, and that definitely calls for the international HR expertise. Now, offering compelling value proposition to employees of the firm, because now employees, as I said, that the employees are no more the local resource. The more and more the international companies, you'll find the employees are being treated as a global resource. Now, when employees are global resource, there are certain expectations stated and implied by the employees, and the employees definitely ask for different kind of opportunities for their growth, for their career development. There are companies who are designing the programs for the global managers, and when such kind of programs are happening, there is a huge movement of people from one continent to another continent. If you look at the knowledge and ideas about best practices, now here again another major challenge is happening, that the best practices which is happening in one part of the country or one part of the organization, so immediately there is a thrust that can these best practices be imported or be customized to other part of the operation, and this is how The people are looking for more optimal utilization of the best practices rather than very local solution to the problems. So there's a constant, say, conflict is that whether we have a local policies or whether we should have universal practices. And sometimes it's a combination of both. The people are now moving towards creating a universal policies with local sensitivity. And that is how the new international HRM is getting evolved. Now, the one way that is very easy way to control is that you have standardized policies and control the entire global workforce to standardized policies. But there is a debate whether we should go for standardized policies or whether we should really go for the local HR practices. Right. Now, and here, as I did mention to you, that the best challenge is that to optimize the processes. Try to have a blend of the universal policies with local sensitivity, and that is how it is being now changed, that, you know, this optimizing resource, optimizing processes for the smooth operation is the best option in today's global work environment. Now, when we standardize the processes, of course, there are the guiding principles come from the top, come from the corporate, and actual implementation, I mean, it is left over to the local team. And this is a basically very complex function. As a global HR, you need to really work on that, and how to monitor this execution of the global policies is a bigger challenge. Initially, as I said, that traditional human resource management or international human resource management mainly focused on expat management, correct, and the people who are frequent travelers. It moved to global HRM. Why? Global HRM calls for very comprehensive outlook, very comprehensive policies to deal with not only the harder side or not only the aspects such as expat management, payroll management or administrative part, but the softer side of the cultural integration, creating an alignment with values, creating a unique mindset for the global organization, and creating a new brand and coming out with as a universal, unique culture for this particular organization. So it will be interesting to know now how this international HRM got evolved, and one of the outcome of international HRM is the concept of shared services. When the global organizations wanted to have a control on HR processes, what really went through in thinking is that create a common pool who will take care of the common services across the various continents. And that is how the shared services concept emerged. The whole idea, like the, for example, say payroll process. Now there is a payroll process happening as a shared services, because if this organization is involved in say 10 countries, there is a one common team who is responsible to process the payroll, and this becomes shared service. Like shared services, like the payroll process, there are other services such as employee help desk, the online performance appraisal. So these are the other services which became like a part of shared services. Now the shared services concept help organization to have a control, better control for the process execution. Now there are two thoughts. One is that the shared services definitely help to optimize the efficiency. The other area is that it also resulted in decentralization of the authority. And in some cases, even the local managers perceive that there is a complete centralization of authority. Because if everything is governed through shared services, the role of the local HR director became very insignificantly irrelevant. Now, as I said, that international shared services also helps to have a uniform processes, policies across the organization. now there are major thrust was creating a mindset to address the issues which are basically more local, more cultural related, and so that your focus is more on the strategic issue rather than the operational issues. After the shared services, or in fact actually in line with the shared services, the other area which really developed was the web-enabled services. The technology helped significantly to automate all the HR processes. For example, now the many organizations, many particularly multinational organizations, what they are doing is that online appraisal system. They have online employee help desk. Now because of this technology, there was a further benefit to the organization to have uniform services, uniform benefits, implementation of those benefits and processes very seamlessly across the continent. See, this has helped even to disseminate the information across the employees. The ability to get HRM information to and from and support on line managers, because now since the data, since the information, since the policies, processes are available online, say there is a better access to the line managers, there is a better understanding to the employees about the HR processes and policies. The next thing which came in about after shared services, web-enabled portals, the outsourcing, insourcing and offshoring. Now here, there's a major change or major shift happened over a period of time, that we are talking about the international HRM or human resource management, not only for employees who are part of your payroll, but you are also responsible for the employees who are not part of your payroll, but they are part of your organization. And that is where this terms, outsourcing, insourcing and offshoring came in practice. What do we mean by outsourcing? Outsourcing is the process where you identify certain processes where you feel that these are not my core business processes. I like someone to take over those processes, and you branch out those processes from your organization and someone else can do these processes for you. The best example is that payroll. There are companies who are specialized in processing payroll. So the payroll function from human resource function, core human resource function, is branched out to the outsource partner. Insourcing. There is also certain need of people whom you need a greater expertise. We need these expertise, but certainly we don't want those people on your direct payroll. So you go out, get the partners, ask them to hire people on their role, but they work in your premises. So this is known as insourcing. Now offshoring is shifting your business processes to the another country. And why you do that? Because after doing this offshoring, what you get is the arbitrage on quality, arbitrage in cost and quality, because there is a much more cost effective benefit you have when you really offshore certain processes to the countries which are not of your main function. Now outsourcing, there are certain advantages and there definitely there are certain disadvantages about the outsourcing. Now there is definitely one advantage is that you are working with the processes which are of your core, and you are not really utilizing your core human resource for the processes which can be outsourced, which can be given to the people who can do it in a much better way, much cost effective way. But at the same time, there are certain ways you have a disadvantage. There is always the concern about the mindset of your partners or contractors, because sometimes the partners may not be well equipped to understand your cultural aspect, your people need or your processes, and sometimes that outsourced services may have some barrier while implementing also while delivering the services. Now although we say that outsourcing, this insourcing, offshoring is a very integral part of the any business process today, and people are trying to really overcome the challenges and also try to integrate these tools very effectively so that you try to be more effective in terms of your cost, or more effective in delivery to your customer. There are definitely indirect benefits as well as the drawbacks. Now, when we do the offshoring, the important aspect is here, basically what you do is that you are creating the jobs for the people in the country where probably this they might could have been a job loser. Now, what happens when you do this offshoring, you also get a benefit of the cost. At the same time, you are protecting the job of the people of that country. Now, just look at this quick quiz. Optimizing an HR practices means, what is the meaning of optimizing HR practices? Whether does it mean that adopting same HR practices across all locations? Certainly not. Adopting different HR practices across all locations, it will create a disaster. It will not really work. But adopting a mix of best practices, that seems to be the most effective model. I think definitely our choice would be the option C. And now look at the other option. Outsourcing in HRM is generally looked down upon due to why it is being looked down. Is it because of lack of contact insight into client's strategy and culture? Yes, it's very much true. Of course, certainly not unavailability of appropriate contractors, fear of not having standard HR practices in all locations. But this deals with the option A, that many times this is one concern what we have, that contractor may not have insight of our core processes. So what we have seen is what is international HRM. We also seen three components of international HRM, and also have seen briefly what is the present scenario in terms of international HRM. Now, to summarize, what do we mean by international HRM? HR management is a branch of this. Finally, as I said, that this is definitely a branch of management studies, which is specialized dealing with the people, dealing with the managing the people coming from a different cross-cultural background. Once we understood the HRM, we can easily understand the international HRM, because finally, international HRM is extended where HR, you deal with the people within the one country, and international HRM is you are dealing with the people coming from different countries. So that's it, and that definitely result into the large scale complexity and better understanding about the culture, values and attitude of people. Now, international HRM as it functions, it deals right from hiring talent, inducting talent, placing them, developing them, and finally making them effective utilization of the human resources. Now, international HRM studies, as I said, are three major areas: cross-cultural management, comparative HRM, and international HRM. The cross-cultural management believes that try to understand the each nation's values, culture, and attitude of the people, and try to integrate their HR policies in line with the cultural sensitivity. Comparative HRM focuses on various processes, policies prevailing in that country and have a map, comparative map of those policies, and then try to integrate with your international HRM. Now, as I said, that international HRM, although it started from expat management, finally got evolved to the managing the people, not only their relocation, not only their payroll, not only their administrative stuff, but also managing their performance, managing the cultural integration, and finally creating a universal brand, universal culture of the organization, which is more international in nature. Thank you very much, and wish you good luck.